listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia. Marshall's in the house helping me with the show. Oops, I gotta get him up there. Try again.
Aloha, Felicia.
Aloha. So today will be really an extra special show for the callers to come in because we're at the end of the year, so it's kind of basically a Haole Makahiki Ho kind of show. Happy New Year. We'll be looking at what's happened in 2015. Definitely if people want to call in and share the high points for them or strong points, powerful points, memorable points, 826-7770. And for people who are listening off the island, because you know you can get it at kkcr.org, the toll-free number for people who still use landlines is 866-275-1112. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Kauai Store.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Dove presents One Night Only on Kauai Homegrown Music Festival After Party with G Love from G Love and Special Sauce, plus Tubby Love, Emily Elbert, Santiago Soto, and Ava Le Moy. This Tuesday night, December 29th, 7 p.m., Church of the Pacific Indoor Show, all ages. Presale tickets online at www.dovepresents.com. Don't miss Kauai Homegrown Music Festival After Party with G Love and more this Tuesday night, December 29th. For more information, 808-635-5556.
This Friday, December 18th, the Princeville Wine Market will be celebrating their five-year anniversary in style with the sparkling wine and champagne tasting at Princeville Center. Wine will be poured to those 21
and older. But we do, KKCR does listen when sometimes we need improvement or if you've got suggestions or ideas.
Or listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
So, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, Marshall, lots have been happening this year. I know that you tend to have a little bit more of a global focus. Oh, you noticed I didn't say the number right?
I did, yes.
Okay, so say it.
826-7771.
Yes, 826-7771 is the on-air line. Our office number is 826-7774. So, tell us, Marshall, what's kind of going on in the world?
Well, it was a big year in a lot of ways. I actually took a lot of notes, Felicia. I have a lot to share if you'd like to hear it. International news.
Okay.
We've got the Iranian nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The nuclear program that we got with Iran, the multinational agreement there.
So that was a lot of people were talking about that. And you know what's interesting when we speak about these powerful points, we even before we came on the air, do we say is it good, is it bad? You know. Whose opinion is what? It's hard to not editorialize somewhat here, but I know there's a lot of conflict over that decision, right?
There's a lot of conflict, yeah, because it won't actually prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon for at least for a decade and increases their breakout time, which is how long it would take them to produce a nuclear weapon, but it doesn't do what some say would have been the only acceptable outcome, which would be to dismantle Iran's nuclear program altogether. So, you know, although it was a major step, it didn't do it all. And I think the hope is on the part of the proponents that in those 10 years, Iran will be sufficiently drawn into the international community financially and politically. And
Well, it is a real interesting question, and it's, of course, the people who have the nuclear weapons aren't particularly interested in having the other ones have it. You know, it's always a bit of a challenge. I believe we have somebody who wants to come on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Actually, Felicia, she's telling me a story. Can I put you on the air?
Yeah, you got to come on the air.
Here you go.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
I just want to say it's, you know, I love Out of the Box, but it's like time for us to just join hands. And I've lost four very good friends in the last 5 months.
Do you want to name them so we can honor them?
To Lou Gehrig. And he said, you know, nothing we can do can change, you know, but, you know, I've just been really lost over this holiday because I miss them all. So instead of getting on the phone, everybody, let's just be happy for what we have.
Well,
and we have a very beautiful island, and you know, getting into politics at this time, it's just not, and getting into problems. It's like time to think back and what, you know, I don't know. I just turned on the radio and it's like, oh crap, we're talking about crap again.
Well, what we have a lot of positives that we're planning to bring up on the show, too. And I think as he brought that one up, he was seeing that as kind of a positive because that is correcting something that was being worked on. But share a positive. And I am so very sorry about the loss of your friends. I understand how that feels. I have lost so many friends this year, too. It's just constant.
I know, and it's a disease that you cannot battle. It just happens.
This is Lou Gehrig's disease, and so you've had four friends with the same illness?
Correct.
Were they all on this island?
Correct.
That is very significant. It's not a common illness, and I have been noticing.
Oh, no, are you kidding me? On this island, we have the most per capita of Lou Gehrig's patients.
Well, I've been noticing that, too. You're saying don't make a negative observation, but I think that we, per capita, we are outside. And an Akamai listener who knows somebody in the medical profession, they can, you know, share if that's incorrect, but it seems like there is a really high amount of that here. And so I wonder if there isn't a trigger.
Well, I don't want to get into the spraying and all that stuff, but, you know, I just want everybody to be healthy and strong and have a happy 2016.
2016. Okay, and bless you for the loss of your friends. And if you know how to get a hold of me in the background and you feel like it, please do. And I would be interested to know where these people did live, because that's something that we have looked at on another show.
Yeah, well, just tell everybody that next year is going to be Sweet 16.
Okay.
And we're going to get all this together. as group.
All right. Thank you so much.
You know, I really take her point to heart about politics being, in a sense, irrelevant to some of the very important things in life. And when I'm given the opportunity to speak on the show, I often share about politics because I actually think that it's important. I see the results of elections having really serious results and implications, like in healthcare. So people do have terrible diseases. Some people get treatment, some people don't. And that can be determined largely by who we elect. So I get excited about it. Some people get into sports. I don't so much. I watch the elections and I root for my favorite team as well. And I admire my favorite players. But I realize that that's not what many people are interested in hearing. And, you know, I also am new to speaking on the radio. And when I consider who's listening, I'm really actually very humbled. I realize that at any moment there are a good number of people listening who know a lot more about what I'm talking about than I do. And have a more sophisticated understanding. So, you know, it's hopefully with a bit more grace going forward, actually, Felicia, to tell you the truth, that I'm able to share with you and with our audience. Maybe I would resolve to pontificate a bit less and simply share information more.
Well, I really appreciate your help. I really appreciate the listeners. And what this particular show is about, Kauai Soapbox, this show is a place where people are able to speak their heart. What is the concerns? It's one, you know, sometimes I joke and I feel like this show is the complaint department for the island. And so it is a place where we explore challenges and what are solutions. I did have a song picked out, and it might make a nice segue, and so this is a blessing for the caller. And I know, Marshall, you absolutely understand. You lost your brother just a couple months ago, and so you took some time out. And I know pretty much all of us cope with those pieces of loss. And so she's bringing up an important point. This is a song that seemed appropriate to me. It's called Kind and Generous. It's by Natalie Merchant, who lived here. And when I picked this song out to play, I was thinking of directing it to our listeners, our KKCR people who actually are members who support the station, because it's really a very small percentage that actually donate every year. And it really makes a big difference, and it allows for a forum for community conversation. It's our goal is to bring the underserved voice up. That is our mission statement. So, Natalie Merchant.
For him, la 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 la.
keep on giving.
Thank you to all the members and supporters of KKCR and the many people in our community. We have so many volunteers. KKCR is a little bit of like being in a mecca of it. Most of the people, I mean, this is a volunteer station, but it is filled with people who do many, many gestures out into the community to help.
And it's a great crowd. I love coming in here.
Yeah. It's like walking into a party, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After, especially the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show. And when we're saying thank you, thank you, I want to thank all those people who helped Moses Hamilton get his van. We had him on, when was that? Like in September, maybe? His van basically blew up. He's an artist who lives in gratitude. He has... a paraplegic condition, no, quadriplegic, all four, and he paints with his teeth.
Hmm.
And it is beautiful work, and people could find that at Mozart, or Moses Art, mosesart.com.
Right, and his van completely stopped working. Right, we had a bad scenario with his van. And then blew
up the dad's truck trying to get up the hill.
Right.
And now... it's a really nice, I think it's a refurbished van, but I've seen it and they're stoked.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, people come through.
People come through. It's clean, it's open, and it's great. And so that's really good. And something else I was looking at last year on the show at this same time, I looked at, well, what do I want to really focus on for 2015 in terms of the show? As much as we can. It's not like we can really solve heavy problems, but we can certainly shine a light on it. 2014 was a heavy focus on keeping our soil healthy. And in 2015, I really wanted to put a focus on housing and the houseless. And there's, you know... It's not easy to solve, but there has been some progress forward. We had the Kolopua Apartments open up.
Excellent.
And didn't have anything to do with me, but they did open, and we worked hard to make sure that we got residents of our community to be able to be in there. There's Rice Camp is going to be opening in Lihue soon. We'll be focusing on that as that comes up, that senior housing. The place in LALA is still taking a little bit of time. But when I went to the meeting with Governor Ige, one of the high points, I did mention this, but it's worth mentioning again, is that he has a coordinator for homelessness. That's a brand new position. It's very appropriate. Apparently, Hawaii has the highest concentration per capita of people without housing.
Really?
Yeah, it's tough. And on any given night, they reckon about 7,600 people in the islands are without housing, and about 50% of that is unsheltered, meaning they're on the street or they're on the beach.
Under tarps, maybe.
Under tarps. So, and a significant amount of that is children. And on Kauai, I don't know how they really get the numbers, but they estimated 340 people on any given night are unsheltered. I mean, are without housing, 75% of which is unsheltered. So I also want to acknowledge Mayor Carvalho because he's had a forum on houselessness, and they definitely invited people there, one of which was Voices of Kauai. Pua really works with that. She also has been without housing and chooses even to hold that condition so she can really reach to people. But they did work with the Board of Realtors on Kauai and got, I think, like more than 80 people into places. So that was good. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha.
It's Robert Pop.
Hi, Robert.
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. We kind of have a light connection, so you're going to need to speak really into the phone.
Okay. All I'm calling for is wondering how we can get one bill so we can change every house that's on a water line to change their sewage into holding tanks so they can pump them out instead of leaching everything into the ocean. You know, I think something we should really look at is making a bill so we could change the rules on the septic tanks and holding tanks, because holding tanks, they come in, they pump them out, they take them up, and they do something with them. The leach fields, it just goes straight into our ocean, and that is what's contaminating most of our rivers and everything. So anybody who lives close to the rivers or on a flat plain, on a low area that's going to get flooded, we should all think about getting a bill and passing that bill so that everybody can have a holding tank instead of that leach field, because that's what's really getting into our rivers and our oceans.
So you're saying instead of a leach field, everybody would be pumped out?
Yes.
And I know something that is under discussion at the county level, though, is very, very expensive to try and create that reality. Sewage system.
I'm looking into it for myself, for my property, and I'm going to put one in, because the only thing that's going to cost is them to come and pump it out. But when they pump it out, you're not polluting anything here in the river. I mean, think about it. We keep doing this, and the tourists keep coming by the households, 5-bathroom houses, full all summer long. How long is it going to take before our ocean is polluted? And our beaches is polluted. You can't even walk on a beach anymore, because that's when you're going to start really smelling them.
I would say we need to get a task force on that. And let's look to see if we know some people that are akamai on this issue, because my understanding is the people who do the porta potties and the people who do pump the sewage, it actually gets sent to Oahu. You know, so that is...
there you go. You know, why got to send them there? Figure out what they're doing there and set up a plant over here and do it here and pump it and bring it to here.
Right. And I know that there's been a look at trying to make sewer systems. It's very expensive to create sewer systems, but that's like Lihue has a sewer system. I believe Kapa'a does as well.
Well, a sewer system always ends up in a problem and a break and everything else. Each individual house holding tanks holds it, and you come in with a truck and pump them. It won't cost that much for pump. The trucks should all make a deal with, if we're going to do that, then they got to charge us one regular fee, and they're not going to be raising them, because they'll be only pumping 300 to 500 gallons of sewage. Think about it. And that 300 to 500 gallons is going to last 8 months to 10 months, depends how much you use it. Now, if you get 5 bathroom houses, you should have 3 of those tanks inside of them. And we got to think about that because, you know, in the long run, it's we the one who live here that our children is the one going to suffer because these people come and the only thing they leave behind is their raw sewage.
Okay, so that's something definitely to be... That's definitely, you know, a complex issue, gray water, but we'll look at it, and I'll try and see what we can do to really explore that this year. So thank you so much.
I'd love to help.
Okay, let's do work on that together.
Well, I have the blessed rest of the year, and I pray that everybody, you know, come together and understand, you know, Hanalei is a stronghold place. It's a place that we hold to fight for our lives and for our livelihood and our children, you know, and it's all about the children. And it's not about money. It's not about the land. It's about the children getting to be raised the way we was all raised when we were children, you know?
Thank you.
It's a really nice thing. So thank you, and God bless, and Happy New Year. And let's have go out in a bang and start with a good one.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
God bless. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
I really liked what this man was saying. And it just happened today that I like to walk in the park at the Wailua Homestead Park.
Mm-hmm.
Except they got a $30,000 deal to open up this dog park, which is supposed to be a people's park. I mean, I'm going to run this till the ground, but you know, and now nobody's picking up their dog poop, and I feel sorry for the county workers, and they said they're sick of it.
Do they have those little dispensers of black plastic bags there for, they got?
Oh, yeah, but they don't care. They sit there with their designer dogs and let them poop everywhere. And, you know, it's just unfortunate they took away our people park. And I understand, Felicia, that there's something like 20 signs sitting at the county in the Parks Division to put up because now people don't want to bring their dogs to the dog park, so they're letting them run where our kids play baseball and where soccer teams play because they don't want to bring them to the dog park because it stinks. And you know what? All of that is going right into the stream. And nobody realizes there's a stream right down below.
Well, thank you for calling attention to that. I'm sure that some listeners are hearing it. And then, you know, we can say how important it is for people to make sure and pick up their manure in a place that's high use. Very, very important. So thank you so much.
Well, it's really, really not even an issue anymore because they took over our whole park.
The people that have dogs.
Yeah, it looks like KCCC.
Okay, I'll go up there and look at it.
Oh, I wish you would.
I will. I mean, I've been up there. I haven't really noticed the problem, but I will look closer. I know where we have our food forest and our community garden. There's a dog park right there, and of course, anytime there's a dog, there's a people. So, it seems like a people with dog park, you know, more than just a dog park. But, you know, I go in there from time to time, and it's actually really taken care of well. It's clean. It's not a problem. And people who have big yards still like to go there because it's an environment where, you know, other dogs can play together, and I see it mostly being seniors.
Well, what about seniors? Our children who only have like a 12 foot by 12 foot little playground with very, very dangerous little holes that I've seen a little boy fall and hurt his foot.
Okay, I will actually speak to County Parks too and ask them about that. Have you emailed them or talked to them?
Oh, I've talked to them, and they've said they've brought it up several times that
okay.
They want the playground to be safer, and they want, you know, they don't want to have to be picking up after these people's dog poop. And no,
right.
I know that the county workers.
Okay, so thank you so much for sharing that, and hopefully people will hear that and think about it and be more conscious. And, you know, I'll see what I can do. I don't know what else I can do in this moment. But thank you so much.
Please.
Okay, aloha and have a good New Year's.
And just, if you can, just get them to put up the signs that no animals allowed in county parks, because now they're letting the dogs run in the soccer field, in the baseball field, and our kids have to pick up after that before they can play.
Okay. Thank you so much. And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. So, yep, people with pets and dogs, be conscious. We have another person that's ready to go on the air. Aloha. Thank you for calling KKCR. You're on the air.
Yeah, Felicia.
Yes. Do you have your radio on?
I'm turning it down.
Turn it off. Can you? Can you turn it off?
Okay. Can you hear me now better?
Yes, but you'll need to speak directly in your phone.
I am.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Your previous caller in relation to the homestead's dog park and stuff like that. I was confronted yesterday about in relation to the dog bags, and there was other people up there who agreed with me that didn't know, but there's a little placard above where the black dog bags are for the poop. They didn't know about it either. And I assumed that it was a county thing, but after I came back an hour later and read the sign, I realized this was all the black dog bags were all contributed by a charity organization. And the person who confronted me was very, very, very upset. And I'm going, I only took enough, so many bags. And I would like to know, for example, at Kealia, were there dog recycling bags available? If that is not the same way that it is at the dog park.
Most of the places that I have seen those dispensers of bags are privately provided. And I think it's important, like if people go that they take one, people can be tempted to grab a whole bunch, but then it ends up empty. You know, so somebody has to come by and fill it up, and it is... Typically, it's a private donation.
And that's what that little placard said yesterday after I was confronted that I read.
Yeah, so it's a private donation. I know, like, I happen to get the Garden Island newspaper, and it comes in a plastic bag, and I just keep all those plastic bags. And
I
have a little stash in my purse, a little stash in my car.
Yeah.
And
an elderly lady yesterday gave me a bunch of newspaper recycling bags, so I wouldn't have the same dilemma.
Yeah.
But I was ignorant, and instead of being condemned for what I did, I was improperly educated that, and it was kind of like, it stayed in my mind thought long enough that I'm actually calling you today about it.
Yes. Well, I think it really comes down to common courtesy. And so it's common courtesy when people bring their dog someplace where other people are likely to be walking. To make sure that they don't leave their dog rubbish where it's going to become a problem. And, we have to be kind to each other. I think that, like, when we see these dog barking ordinances that go before the county council, I've been in there for a number of those meetings, and, boy, do people really have hot spots over that. And I think because for people who do love their dog is part of their family.
I think for people
who don't like dogs, they don't connect with it the same way.
Right. But anyway, at least I was able to take a community radio station as good as you guys are at KCR and say what I had to say, and I appreciate it, Felicia. And you have a beautiful new year, okay?
Thank you.
Okay,
all right,
aloha.
You too. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
I think we might be having internet problems. I'm getting responses from out in the world, our friends that we love that tend to listen to KKCR.org that just not coming through. So I don't know. So Marshall, you had a number of things that you were going to share, and I want you to continue.
Can I tell you about space in 2015?
Sure, you can tell me about space.
All right, I'm really excited about space. We had a flyby of Pluto by the New Horizons spacecraft, and what we found was organic material staining the surface orange, kilometers-high water ice mountains plunging into freshly resurfaced nitrogen ice sheets, and a collapsing atmosphere. So, water on Mars. You know, I actually had missed that. We have water on Mars, and the implications for the possibility of life there's huge.
Though the water, is it, they say it's flowing. I would think it would be frozen. Is it moving, or is it frozen?
You know, in one place I read that it is actually flowing, but in another it said that it was basically glaciers. So I'm still not clear on that. But, I don't know.
I think the big thing with Mars, I mean, there might be something going on there, but what they tell us, is that it's got a solid core. It doesn't, like, the Earth has a solid core rotating within a field of magma. It's like hard inner core, then a fluid next core, then it goes back to hard, and that's what creates our magnetosphere. And Mars doesn't have that. And so without that, it's really hard to hold the atmosphere and all the different things that sustained life. And again, if there's an Akamai listener, please call in and correct that. But
right, we may have people who know a whole lot about that.
I know that when I went to Oahu last summer, I went to I have to go.
You know what, Felicia?
Yes.
I was just glancing at my notes. I completely mixed up the Pluto and Mars news. Mars does have flowing water.
Yeah.
Yes. And the atmosphere has been stripped away. It's not tucked underground somewhere, but it's Pluto that has the organic material and the water ice mountains. So sorry about that.
Well, you got mixed up. Okay, but you were close. And then so Mars has flowing water, is what they say. So
flowing water. Yeah.
At the International Astrology event, I did asked them a bunch of questions, and they were so helpful. I was over there when we did. There was a big march, and among that was people being concerned about the industrialization of Mauna Kea, where the telescope is. And so they were very helpful with me, and they knew that that's the audience that I'm looking to or listening to. But I learned a lot, and there was a lot of questions that have come up on this show. And so one of them, I was asking them, hey, you know, is there life out there? You know, do you think that there's life out there? Because for how much they have looked, they've got an incredible amount of the universe mapped. They have hundreds of galaxies mapped and modeled, and it's really pretty amazing what they do. And that's why they like to have these telescopes all over the planet, because they put them in a different position, and so it's like seeing things in stereo or beyond stereo.
Well, another thing that we did find out from the Kepler telescope was that there is a planet in what they call the Goldilocks zone, a certain distance away from its sun. And it's a rocky planet where it has some of the conditions for the potential for life. So we see something out there where it could be.
Yeah, I think they think that there's this, because I've asked them this. It's not that they're saying that there isn't life anywhere. They just felt really convinced that there wasn't life close to us, that they didn't see anything that was in any kind of reasonable distance to get here. Of course, there are the little black holes and stuff. And these guys seem like the type who probably grew up on Star Trek and would love to have it be there. But I did learn some really interesting things, too, like how there are planets that rotate around two suns. There's all kinds of really interesting things that was there. So I know that you have an interest somewhat in space.
Yeah, and you know what I was wondering? Is it true that radio waves go on and on forever, infinitely out into space? Like, my voice right now, is it never going to stop?
I don't know.
It's kind of scary.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there was a lot of that. So what else do you have on your list?
Well, I just have to mention in terms of space that they grew lettuce on the International Space Station. I just thought that was super cool. First time they've grown any food up
there. Is
that
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, it's tough. You got the water floating all around and all that sort of thing. And so the astronauts were very excited, and they had the foresight to bring some balsamic vinaigrette with them.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. And I know the first Englishman is up there, and that's a big deal for England. You have your big list. I want you to be able to share some of it.
Okay. Well, we have on the short list of major world events, ISIS, of course, on three continents now. They have struck, basically. We have Paris and Egypt and in California and in Turkey.
I took a deep breath because is that really ISIS in California? I mean, something happened, but can we really say that that's
yeah.
What? I mean, to me, when I heard that, this is my opinion, but when I heard that even in the presidential debate, and they're saying, and then I went and I looked at the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And since 2001, 45 people have been killed by what is considered Islamic terrorists in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Like 13,000 people is the average that die from gunfire every year. And, you know, like how much even comes from law enforcement is really rather profound. You know, so like to be being afraid of saying that ISIS is now in the United States, I feel like that's somebody rattling the bell saying, let's be afraid. And I'm not capitulating into that one.
Right. The reaction is all skewed, definitely. I saw a much larger number, actually, for the number of people killed by guns in the United States since 2001.
Well, that was per year, 13,000 per year average.
Right.
I mean, yeah, so you saw an even bigger number
right.
than that. So but, I mean, the likelihood of who is going to hurt you while you could get hurt by guns, it is not even close. I mean, there is. I think I did the math on it. It was like 0.0025. So that means, you know, 1% is 1.0. So it's that small of how much is done that way. So
right.
I didn't want to really.
Whether or not that was an ISIS attack in California is a good question. But if you think about that is an ISIS strategy to inspire attacks by people that they aren't even actually in communication with, it was that. They took inspiration from ISIS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I believe we have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, is that me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to answer the question you guys were asking earlier about do radio waves go out
in
space forever?
Okay.
And the answer is yes, they do. So our planet Earth has been emitting radio waves, human-generated ones, ever since, like, Marconi invented the radio. So right now around Earth there's a sphere 100 light years in radius. So all the stars and all the planets that are less than 100 light years away, because that's how long radio has been being generated by people on the planet here, they all can listen to KKCR.
That's wonderful. And what is a high point for you in 2015? Powerful point. It could be positive, bummer, good, bad, whatever. But what's a memorable thing for 2015 for you, mm-hmm. other than that you're getting married?
Yeah, that's pretty memorable. I'm pretty excited about that. Turning 50, that's kind of a big deal. working on my global time system. That's been kind of exciting for me. I'm going to do a show on that in a week. So
okay.
All
right. On Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. This Thursday or a week from Thursday?
No, Thursday next, January 7th. It's going to be all about time.
Time. Okay. I'll be sure to listen in.
But I wanted to say in relation to, you know, where is life? What planet have they discovered life on? So Earth is a pretty good candidate for intelligent life. You're still out on if there's any intelligent life on Earth, but there seems to be some kind of primitive life form on this planet. But seriously, there are several candidate bodies in the solar system, Mimas and Enceladus. Those are in orbit around Saturn, and they're icy planets with a thin crust on the outside, but massive oceans in the interior. Io is another planet.
On Jupiter's moon?
Orbit around Jupiter, yeah. It's a moon bigger than our moon, and it has more water on Io and its oceans. Oceans are like 60 to 100 miles deep, and they're beneath a thin crust. So there's more ocean water on Io than there is on all of Earth.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then finally, for candidates, you've got Ceres, which is the largest of the asteroids in the asteroid belt, and they think there may be subsurface water on that as well. So, and then there's Mars, because they found that there's seasonal, extremely salty water flowing in the soils, sort of migrating down hill slopes. Those are five or six opportunities in our solar system alone. And they've discovered about 2,000 planets in orbit around other stars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been about a handful, like maybe a half a dozen or a dozen, that are sort of Goldilocks or Goldilocks zone close.
But there doesn't sound like there's any, like, non-terrestrial candidates for Miss Universe, right? Or, you know, intergalactic sports.
Not yet, but, I mean, they've only found 2,000 planets, and there are literally trillions of stars in the universe. So it's virtually a mathematical certainty that life exists. Certainly it seems to here. Now, whether it's intelligent or not, like I said, the jury's still out on that. But.
Maybe you're being unfair to the whales. But
oh, actually, you know what? That's a really great point. I stand corrected. I bow to the wisdom of another monkey.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. I have some other callers holding, but I appreciate it.
Always a fantastic show. And last week your show was stellar.
Thank you. That was Commander Bruce Hay in here, and I want to just really commend him for being very willing to come in with people who have strong opinions that aren't happy with what is happening. He's came in for the environmental impact statement on the Hawaii, Southern California testing and training for 2018 and beyond. He's going to come back on the show on the 26th.
That sounds good. He struck me as an honorable man, and I thought that for you to be facilitating that kind of conversation where people of different perspectives were able to talk directly to each other was really phenomenal. And I thought it was exceptionally good that the Kaula Rock came up or Kaula Island, Moku'o Kaula, the island that's about 17, 19 miles south of Niihau, because, you know, the U.S. military has been conducting live fire and now kinetic exercises on there for decades, the whole time where Kaho'olawe was also being bombed. And due to great uproar, that was finally brought to an end on Kaho'olawe. But a lot of people don't even know because it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, but I thought it was really just great to get the issue of the bombing, the continued bombing by the U.S. military of Kaula Island, because that's terribly important. I think it's as important as Kaho'olawe, and so I was really, really happy to hear about that. I think that, for me, was the high point, actually, of 2015.
Really? Thank you. I want to say one thing that came up on that show. People were asking about Lehua Rock or Lehua Island, and what was being said in the studio here is no, PMRF is not doing any testing on Lehua Island. But what I did learn after the show, not from the people from the base, but just from other listeners who sent me links, is it's the base on Oahu that is working with Lehua. And the,
it's not that tentacle of the monster. It's a different one.
That's right. And so,
same monster, different tentacle.
Yes. So same military, different tentacle. And so January 26th, the commander is planning to come back in, and he felt that he didn't get enough calls. He really wanted to hear people call in. And so our show was really full in the studio, so he wants to hear from more people.
Well, that's great. And, you know, so my commendations to Captain Bruce Hayes. That's that was really fantastic. I will let another caller on. Thank you so much for all the great work you do.
Thank you so much. You too. Aloha. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Is this me?
It is.
Okay. Well, I was just calling in response to the questions and answers about the existence of life on other planets or possibilities of water and life on other planets out there in the universe. And it triggered my thoughts of how much money we spend on exploring the outer space to find where we can possibly find life. And I wonder if we could spend, why aren't we spending that kind of money in restoring this beautiful planet that we've already been given? I mean, the rainforests are being devoured down in South America. You know, the rivers are being poisoned and polluted. We've been given this great gift, and yet we spend all this money so we can find where we can go on to the next planet. It doesn't make sense to me for some reason. I understand man's curiosity, but curiosity killed the cat if you don't feed the cat. You know?
Well, I think that in the Mauna Kea Protectors movement, that has been really spoken very, very eloquently. And even here in this studio, it's come up is that, like, there at Mauna Kea, 14,000 feet above the surface of the ocean, separated from very long way away, there is actually unique life that is endemic right to that area that is very worth studying. And when that gets basically destroyed, damaged, blown away. You know, when we're looking at what goes on out in space, by the time a telescope like that is built and then there's enough data that can actually be analyzed, it might be 25 years from now, and we're looking at all this environmental devastation that's happening.
Yes, and the environmental devastation is not just here in Hawaii. It's the whole planet. This whole planet is being devastated day in and day out, and there doesn't seem to be a recognition on the part of the people who are collecting the money that instead of putting all this research out into space, we need to put some this money back into rebuilding and replanting and reforesting our beautiful planet.
Well, I think that there's a big awakening going on. To me, that's one of the things that is really powerful to me from looking at 2015, 2014. I actually feel a lot of hope for the future. I'm not depressed as I look forward because I meet so many people, certainly around these islands. We get people coming in from different places in the country, the United States, and around the world, even into our world here, who are really, it's bubbling up all over an awareness and a consciousness that says, okay, we have really taken exceptional capitalism to an extreme.
Yeah.
And so it becomes all about the money. And there's nothing else. And I think it's easier to destroy something than it is to repair something. So there's more money in that.
It is easier to destroy something. And it's easier. Maybe it's easier to go out and it's more exciting to go out and find out what else is out there that you potentially are going to destroy. But basically, you know, taking care of what you got is a job that we all have.
And it's an imperative job.
Yeah.
It's an imperative job. So thank you so much for that perspective.
Okay, I just had to, that's what came to my mind, so I wanted to join.
Yeah, if we just say took $1.4 billion, like that's the investment at in the 30-meter telescope, for example, how would you take that $1.4 billion? What would you redirect it for?
Well, I personally would redirect it towards figuring out how to get them to stop cutting down more and more of the rainforest down in South America. For what? I mean, there's just so many millions of things that I could think of, but that's on my mind a lot because I just can't imagine that we're going to continue to do that when, you know, that's providing us with water and it's taking care of tribes of people and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'd restore the rivers. I mean, I can't even believe, there's nowhere, you could, any place, just around the corner you could probably figure out somewhere.
There is quite a bit. You know what, I didn't get time to bring up last week when we did have the commander in here, and I've said it to him personally, it is not his kuleana, it's not his responsibility to make the decisions for what RIMPAC does. Those are the Pacific Rim exercises. There'll be another one in 2016 and then 2018. It's every other year. I really want to put together a movement to ask our senators and representatives at the national level to let's do a RIMPAC where we actually really help national defense and global defense and either clean up the plastic in the ocean or go and help Fukushima contend with their mess there, because
absolutely
that we could
that's
spend
a great idea.
We could spend $1 billion or whatever gets spent. I mean, part of it is a big economic exercise. We could spend that, and if part of the goal is to be bringing people together. In fact, Stu Burley, who started this, if you're listening, I'm going to drag you in here, and we're going to explore that. Stu Burley, he was the commander of the base that came up with the idea of the RIMPAC exercises, so he probably has some connections, and I want to help them do a redirect. They can still have a RIMPAC exercise, would just attack a different problem, an environmental problem, and I think that will help.
That's a great idea. I support you in that. I'll be listening, and if I can be of any help, I'll.
Okay, let's all do that. Let's work
okay,
on that.
Thank you, Felicia, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Okay, thank you.
You know, she was concerned about the trees, and there is actually good news on that front. As part of the Paris Climate Accord, they have designated a lot of money to pay countries to stop burning their forests. So something is being done, and we do still have 3.04 trillion trees on the planet.
Yeah, and we got to just keep them going. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. We're at the top of the hour. So we are going to honor our underwriters. Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K224CQ Anahola K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Church of the Pacific, providing Wednesday's free food pantry. A community garden. Facilities available for events, music, craft fairs, meetings, classes, volunteer opportunities. Church of the Pacific, where community gathers. The little church with the big heart. 826-6481. ChurchOfThePacific.org.
I don't know if he said that they're in Princeville, but that's where they are, right there in Princeville. And I'm going to go see G-Love tonight at 7 o'clock.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and that voice there, Gray, he's a great guy, and he does really good things with gleaning when people have orchards and excess, and bringing them to the food pantry. I got to bring him in here, too. That's an example of solution. So we have a caller holding. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, aloha, Felicia. Okay, are you there?
I am.
Okay,
hi.
Thank you. This is Marge calling, and I really appreciate your having the phones open today. Even though all your other programs with your guests on have always been significant for KKCR. I would like to, just give my appreciation this is the 11th anniversary of Butch Keikahu's passing in 2001. And he was one of our most important founders of KKCR. And we are such an important part of the entire island of Kauai. And I, as one of the founders with Butch, I'm so very proud of our importance in our community. You know, such as, you know, the excellent opportunity that we have for getting relevant information and ideas out to all our listeners. And, you know, just like the previous caller was talking about the dog park, hopefully people will hear that and respond in a positive way. This is such an important factor that KKCR allows us. And I just would like to put out an appeal to our listeners here on Kauai and even on Big Island, and also on our internet. You know, lots of people listen to us all over the world. And, you know, you were talking about what would we like to see in 2016. So, so often I hear folks say, well, what would we do without KKCR? And, I feel the same way. And, realistically, I think we're always on the edge, as a lot of people know. We're always asking for money. Some people say we're begging. But we were seriously below our fall membership pledge drive. So my wish for KKCR in 2016 is to always raise more funds than ever before to keep KKCR on the air.
So maybe we can say that this is December 29th. Maybe we could make that wish for 2015, because many people are in that time just before they do their taxes. This is the last couple of days. Like, if you've been looking at what your income is and you're ready to do your taxes, it's a great time and a great opportunity to make a donation to a worthy cause. And so if people listened and wanted to do this, they could go to www.kkcr.org, and there's a donate button there. And it'd be a good place to put it in. I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yes, it is. It's a really good time, and we hope that people can give generously as much as they can afford. Every bit helps us, just trying to fix old equipment and old parts of our building that might be leaking, and our carpet needs replacement, and you know how it goes. It goes on and on. And so I just wanted to, you know, remember Butch, because it was so important for him to get this radio station up and running. And he sang a song on an album that still exists. I don't know if it's still at the station. It's called Aloha March 2000, Beyond the Apology. And Butch and his family, one of the reasons they started our station was to get the word out about the sovereignty movement that was really gaining, you know, sort of importance in back in the 1980s, which is, you know, when we first started meeting to have meetings to try to get a radio station going at the end of the 1980s, and we finally did get on the air. And I'm just so proud of that, and I'm so proud of everyone that does come in and volunteer all the time, and their skills are getting better and better. And so I don't know if anyone there would have the time to look for this album.
I'm trying to look up on the internet to see if I can get it while you are speaking.
Yeah.
So how am I doing? Would Butch be happy with this show? I mean, I have learned, I can't tell you how much, about the sovereignty movement since I've had this program.
Oh, he would be delighted, as with his entire family, some of whom still live here on Kauai. And it you know, in 1993 was the apology from President Clinton, but as we all know, so little, if anything, has happened since then, except for programs on KKCR to bring it into the spotlight here on Kauai and the other islands and on the internet. So few people really remember what happened here and how the indigenous people have suffered so terribly since the overtaking and of our islands. And so I just want to thank you as well, Felicia, for being so fundamental in getting very good speakers on all kinds of subjects, and this is a tremendous gift to our community. So I just want to say Happy New Year, and if you can find that album, the song that Butch sings on is written by Liko Martin.
Oh.
And it's called Akua O Kalani. And the whole album was put together by another prominent fundraiser founder here way back, long time ago. And we're all very proud of this album and proud of Butch. So if you can find it, if you can play that particular song.
So it's called, the song is called Beyond the Apology?
No, the album is called Aloha March 2000. Beyond the Apology. And what it was a fundraiser for Butch and a whole bunch of us to go to Washington, D.C. twice, once in 1998 and once in 2000, to march from the Capitol to the White House up Pennsylvania Avenue with lots of folks from all over the United States, Hawaiians and non-Hawaiians.
So the song that you are looking for is Okua o Kalani.
Kalani, yes.
And I want to say that, like, when we put an emphasis on issues, particularly like the Public Land Development Corporation, which really was a deep assault, particularly on the Kanaka Maoli, the Hawaiian people, because it was taking what is the very left of it and shifting it from preservation, conservation and preservation, the land, like 6 million acres, and shifting it to being to exploit for revenue. So when we were really focused on that show, I saw people from Polynesia all the way to the East Coast and really commenting. We can see who's listening around, and a lot happened with that. And I do want to say that there is an awakening happening. There is an empowerment happening. And where we're seeing some support that's almost unexpected is coming from these Supreme Courts, both at the state level and at the United States, where they're actually looking and seeing that the government is breaking these laws about itself. And I think that what has happened is government can oftentimes feel above the law, and we can have a mindset that says, you know, the status quo is how it should be, and there's not really a back check of what has happened. And I want to really put gratitude out there to our friends that are in the Kanaka Maoli movement, that are Aloha Aina, that are working towards righting some of the wrongs that have happened. And it's really, you know, we're all in the same canoe. So when the government can do wrongful things to one population, it's really, they can do it to every population. And sometimes it's more extreme in that case, like it, because these people have been dispossessed of their lands.
So, absolutely. And you couldn't say this more clearly, Felicia, and I really appreciate that, all this backstory to exactly what's going to happen, hopefully, in the future. I know it is. And I know that KKCR has been a major, major part in putting out the correct information. There are some people who doubt some of this information. I hear that a lot. But there's so many books now published, and like you say, so many people have come forward, and I applaud them totally for the energy and the time and the money that it has taken to get the word out to the entire world. So anyway, if anybody has a little bit of cash left over, this is a perfect time to get it to KKCR. And like Felicia said, you know, you can just go on to KKCR.org and press, I think it's the donate button. And I believe it's tax deductible, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Yes. And so this is an excellent opportunity to keep us rolling. From all our past wonderful experiences here on air and into 2016. And I just want to say, haole makahiki ho to everyone.
Thank you. We have been just really scouring, trying to find it in the discs. With a big thank you to our station manager, Dean, who was right on it, looking to it when he heard that come up, because he really understands what that is. And I'm seeing a lot of pictures on the internet and seeing Auntie Nani there and, you know, a number of other people who did go for that march. And
yeah, the two marches.
The
yeah.
two marches. And Legal Martin has been a guest in here a number of times, and he's, you know, really an incredible speaker.
Yes, he is. And Butch had an angelic voice. There's very few, if any, other recordings of him singing, except maybe when he was much younger, and I believe he sang in his church choir, but we're not privy to that music. I've not heard it anywhere. So anyway, I know that this album is in high demand, and unfortunately it disappears a lot at the station, and so you may not be able to find it, but I'll make note of it, and perhaps we can get another one up there with Lock and Key on it.
Yes, and if it does come on, I want to really credit Darling Dean, because he is always really great at backing up us programmers, and so...
Absolutely.
He sees I have this need, so.
Yeah. So thanks again, Felicia, for your program. Always been a delight for all these years that you've been on air, and look forward to 2016.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet. Aloha.
Aloha. And the Hokulea is on its way to Brazil from Africa. So, it's on its way over, and our Moku Chandler, Moku Pu'ule Chandler is on that ship, so I'm very happy with that.
That's a Butch song.
Okay, so I might have a Butch song here. Let's see where. Okay, I'm gonna try this. This is we got a song coming up here.
Can I do one for my mom? Same old standard one. And mom, yeah.
Okay. And mom's right here. Oh, mom.
My mom is right here. Let me call.
This is Butchie. Butch Kekahu, founder of...
Mom, I love you. Yes, I do. Please. Wait for me, I'll be home real soon. I never knew how much you meant to me. Now that I'm so many miles away, your sweet smile. Oh God, please to keep my mom. Oh please to keep my mom. To all the mothers out there on Kauai,
and what a beautiful mother you have. It is so uimauli no.
How about the son?
Yeah.
And the granddaughter.
We have three generations.
All right, some nice memories from the past.
Love it. Beautiful song.
Yes, and we had another programmer call in and say that she's pretty much scoured the place for this, but... She's going to try and find some other source for it and maybe be able to play it on her show Sunday afternoon.
So, Felicia, what occurs to you as one of the biggest things that happened on the island this year?
To me, one of the biggest things that has happened on this particular island, I would say, you know, I'm so focused on the food and the plants, and so I just see an ever-increasing sense of will and purpose from, and I'm going to own it, I live on the Northeast Corridor, so that's what I see, just a really coming together and a commitment for growing food, growing plants, sharing it out, a share economy. And even for me this morning, I mean, I'm always showing up late. I got 5 spider bites this morning. I have spiders in my hair. I ended up weighing it because it was too hard to pick up. Because I put it all in one big bucket and I couldn't hardly get it. So I brought the scale out. It was 75 pounds worth of avocados and papayas and oranges, lemons, eggs, another soursop. This came perfect. You know, there's just so much food is available in neighborhood agriculture.
And that's all from your yard.
It's from my yard, and it's just what I picked up and bothered to weigh. You know, the chayote, the papayas. I got a rack of bananas that's just about ready. My chickens got a whole lot because sometimes I miss getting it at the prime time. I try and share it out. I brought a bunch in here. But really, we can be that way. And I feel like individual sovereignty begins with food sovereignty. That's really how we create our freedom. And that's what I have really personally discovered and how much hope it gives me as I see the ability of the land to produce.
The Kauai Farmers Union has been a big part of the North Shore coming together.
The Kauai Farmers Union, Regenerations, Malama Kauai. We got the new Ag Park.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Do we have a caller?
We have a caller.
Okay, aloha. You're on the air.
Well, it was nice of you to end with the Ag Park. I went out there on Monday, and I was talking to Yosh Lopes.
Okay, speak right into the phone, please.
Okay, and, sorry, there's sun shining in my eyes. I went out there on Monday, and I talked to Yosh Lote, and they are just doing amazing things on that ag park. It's all fenced in now, and 7 acres are cleared, and they've created a huge berm with a lot of the chipped slash that they took off.
Yep.
I really encourage people to go down, drive down the road like you're going to the lighthouse and have a look, because it'll really make you enthusiastic about the will of the people to get something done.
And this is in Kilauea, and so it is on the road to the lighthouse, which is called Kilauea Road, and I believe that he's got at least 8 farmers who have a commitment for certain pieces in that, but there is going to be a good big space available for people who want to be part of a community farm. And so there will be lots, there's so much variety that can happen in that, but that people will come in and they just basically work their hours, and then they can have their interest in which foods are the most important to them. But it'll be an interesting way for it to happen. So there won't be a point for it to kind of go to weeds.
Well, one of the other things that's really interesting is along that berm with all that area right next to the fence, they're going to be planting citrus and ulu and things like that for the community. So this is my idea of how we should be getting together and working on this land. I'm so impressed with what Yosh has done.
Yeah, and I want to absolutely want to give him credit, but there is a whole team behind him. I could list about 10 names. So.
Oh, absolutely. And it's 75 acres, so they've only done 1/10 of it. But if you go and drive past there and see what they have done, it's just going to make you so happy.
Yes, and I it's a block from my house, so I am watching it daily.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign off because I got to drive. Aloha.
Okay, aloha.
And we can give a little credit to the county and to the state as well.
Yeah. Yes, the Agribusiness Development Corporation has given some money into that, and the county is the one who's basically given the lease over to the community. And the uncles who have been a part of it for a very, very long time. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I want to say Gary Smith, John Akana, who has left this life, Rodney Yadow, Gary Pacheco. I get all nervous. I'll forget people, but they tried for years and years to create this.
How many years?
And there's 30.
Wow.
A little bit more than 30. And so that's how long ago the commitment was. And I think the thing that caused this handover was that generation and then the next generation. These guys are now kupuna, but the makua, the younger generation, the adults who are still in their working prime, were there. And I believe it was Adam Asquith who said an entire generation has grown to adulthood without this being placed in the hands of the people. And in that time, the cost of ag land has gone so astronomical that it really is very, very difficult for anybody who lives and works here to be able to afford it. And I think that we're going to have a real challenge when we look at people who are able to have the capacity to invest in the land. Sometimes it ends up being somewhat of a sharecropper situation of people who come in and actually cultivate that land. I am happy to see that the county made an ordinance that says if you have these ag parcels, you have to have an ag plan to get your building permit approved. But they don't have to actually implement that plan. I think it might be, there possibly should be a couple few years, and that plan needs to be implemented so that the ag intention stays strong there. Now, many people are doing it. Very often they have people who come in and work and do it, but there's usually without a contract, and sometimes that land gets sold. Like very often that land gets sold after the land has been improved by the people who are essentially camping on the land and planting these orchards, and 10 years later when it's really productive, all of a sudden the land's worth twice as much, you know, and then it turns over. And that's a really hard nut to crack, because you can't blame people for if they put in $400,000 and all of a sudden it's worth $1 million or $1.2 million, they might go, I never moved over there, might as well get it. But
it's
really tough.
It's an amazing aspect of that, though, that there are people who feel it's worth living on the land, planting the trees, making the long-term investment in increasing the food production, whether or not they are there to reap the benefits of that.
Yes, it's a compelling passion. And so sometimes when we are in environments and I hear it said, the average age of a farmer is 60, there are no young farmers. Well, there aren't young farmers or hardly young farmers that can afford their land that they're farming. But there is a whole team of young plant enthusiastic people. And even if it doesn't make money, it still makes food. And I think like when we had Gray did the voiceover for Church of the Pacific, and I was hearing his voice, and he works with the North Shore, the Rotary Club of Hanalei Bay, I think is what it would be called. And he's very part of the food pantry there at Church of the Pacific. But they go out and they glean. And I think that we need to be getting more people who perhaps have land that they can't even afford to harvest so much of the abundance. Like I was saying, just in my little yard, the abundance is overwhelming. We need to get a system in of gleaning and getting that food out. We had some people, their business that they're opening is called Hanai Kauai. Colin Darrell was one of the people who was on here. He's really got a very beautiful vision of a database that's actually already written to be matching farmers to the food. I mean, to the food buyers, to the restaurants. The more we can start cultivating our palates to appreciate the plants that grow like a bad weed here. I really, really want to see that. So you asked me, to me, what was my high point of 2015, and if I look at this island, I think I felt good that many people that I know who've been struggling without housing, I've seen a number of them get it. I see how much it really changes somebody's life. So when we look at places like Utah that call it housing first, what these locations, which is the norm in the United States, that tell people, okay, you got to get your life together. Once you can prove you have your life together, we'll give you housing. Well, you know, how can I have my life together if I'm sleeping in a freezing area, or I'm living like a criminal because it's illegal to sleep in your car. You can't sleep in a public place, you know. So I've been happy to see some change for the positive in that direction. I'd like to see a whole lot more. And I'm happy to continue to discover how many more people are joining the food production community and joining it with joy. So I would say that's probably my highest point in 2015. But I did mention that I was pleased to see that some of these court decisions have been favoring the common people. And I've become jaded. Hardly expect that. And so that's been really good.
Mm-hmm. And you're highly involved at a county level in the government and agencies and committees, and you're constantly going to meetings. So what really stands out in your mind as an important development in that arena?
Well, I wish people got along better. What I'm going to say, in fairness to all these people who aren't getting along as well as maybe they can within the government, is it is a very difficult task. And so we really have to have more compassion for the people who are in there. I hear people diss on our policymakers and our people who work within the county, and I feel bad when I hear that, because we need all this modern infrastructure. It's incredibly expensive. Even if you look at a house, you know, 30 years ago, you could just go out. 40 years ago, you could build a house with your hammer and your nail, and you go out and you build it. And nobody seemed to give you any stink about it. And after this last hurricane, all of a sudden now we have to have all these building codes, building standards. Nothing is cheap. You can't do it. It's the same way with the roads, with the parks, with the water, with all of our infrastructure. And we don't have that many more people. And so everybody's trying to pull the money from the same source. And so it's difficult. So if I have a word out to the listener, if you're going to be talking to somebody, whether they work in planning or they're an elected official, still yet start with a thank you. Mm. Because something wouldn't be before the government in those elected positions if the decision was easy. Always they're going to disappoint somebody. It's near impossible to make everybody happy. We have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Felicia. This is Alan.
Hi, Alan. Faya.
How are you?
Yes, good.
Well, good. Now, I've been listening, and I just wanted to inform people, listeners and all, that on the Big Island, they don't have so much restrictions on what you can do on ag land. For example, I have a good friend who was, I think, more or less on the Hilo side, and they built a huge agricultural farm, and what they had for living conditions and housing, you know, and offices and all that, they had 40-foot containers. So they got permission from their county to allow the use of containers, which are great because they are a wonderful thing to start with, to build or place, and then your community is able, let's say you have some of the, let's say, less fortunate people, but they probably know how to work ag, okay?
Yes, and probably want to work ag.
Yeah.
And their goal isn't to be a rich person. Their goal is to be connected to the earth.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be a perfect thing for our homeless here? I mean, there's out of the whatever hundreds there are, there's probably that 30 or 40% of them that would love to have something like this. So we need to work with our county officials on maybe we should allow things like containers up there.
Do you have any idea how much a container costs?
Maybe $10,000? Is that probably
well,
right?
Well, I don't know. You know, if you're doing something like an ag project, you talk to Matson, and, you know, they recycle these containers
so
a lot.
Alan, Do you want to work with us on that?
Let's
go in together and let's just see if we can't get one of the council people or somebody in planning to kind of back us up on that. I know that the community college had done a program there with refurbishing containers into a living environment, and it seems to me that, you know, the county fortunately turns a little bit of a blind eye to how many people are camping in order to be able to farm. But why not just let those containers go in there? And, you know, I appreciate your experience and your mana'o, and maybe they would listen to you.
Well, yes, I would sure like to team up. And I know for a fact that Gary Hooser is one of the folks who's interested in this. So we need to, you know, get together and have a little balao.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, okay, look, I didn't want to hold you any longer, but I'm enjoying your program very much tonight.
Thank you so much for calling
in. By the way, we've moved our ukulele to Monday, so now I can listen to Soapbox.
Yay, and you'll have to come in again, and you can bring some of your ukulele friends.
I loved your ukulele. That was so good.
Yeah, that was great.
That was okay, mahalo, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And Marge had made that suggestion about KKCR as a place to donate. And I've chosen to put Amy Goodman's little pitch on this show. We have a lot of latitude in the station here to be able to, as long as we follow within the guidelines of what message we want to bring out. I'm going to play her, but also while I'm thinking of that, one of the reasons, because Marge said, oh, we were having people call in. I love having people call in. And a lot of times I have people come in because they're really able to share their story more strongly. So if you have an issue that is very important to you, you can always call me at 652-4363. Or my email is akamimom@gmail.com, or I'm Felicia Alonji Cowden on Facebook. And we want to bring your story out. We want to be able to look at these issues that are important. And then you come in, and it's a little bit easier to really flow it when people are in. But most of the people who come in as guests are people who have been calling in and want to say something. We can do more justice to the story that way. Okay, here's Amy. I have that right?
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
And mahalo, Amy. Democracy Now! Is really a rather robust program that does real justice to some of these national issues.
Going back to the idea of people living in shipping containers, you know, I was in a shipping container that had a door and windows, and I tell you, still feel like you're in a shipping container. You know, it doesn't exactly have the ambience of a nice little home. Something inexpensive for people to live in, yay. You know, that would be awesome, but I wonder if there are alternatives to that.
Well, I think certainly there are, but sometimes what is positive, you know, if it's housing that isn't exactly permitted, if it's just not perfect, because then people have the motivation to still yet try and work towards something that will maybe be something more that they want. But, you know, for a couple years, you know, or something like that, it might be just fine as they start to get someplace growing and cultivated and, you know, as their life starts to come together.
Well, I love that there's creative thinking on how to house people or just how to shelter people, really. It's needed so badly, and whatever we can do. If it's shipping containers, okay, but give people a place to stay.
Yeah, and I see the people that are basically sleeping on the sidewalks in Lihue, and many of them, and if you're listening, I love you, and I'm saying it with full respect. These are people that I have known from when they have had an easier time. And very often, people will have a psychological trauma or they'll have an issue. Most people don't choose to have that level of difficulty. And once you start to stumble, it can be very, very hard to recover. And I don't think it serves any of us well to have people being suffering on the street corners. And most of them are people who have a whole lot to give. When I'm thinking about human health, I had a conversation with some people this week and last week. And do you know much about transcendental meditation?
A bit, yeah. I heard that they have the, sometimes they actually levitate a little bit.
Are you joking?
No, yeah. I'm not. One of the things that's supposed to be able to happen if you meditate transcendentally long enough.
Okay.
Maybe we could get somebody who's who practices that.
I think that I'll have some people maybe come in a little bit. Yeah, I'm not today, but you know, in a few shows out. I have migraine headaches, and I have had traumatic brain injury when I was a child. That's part of the reason that I have the headaches. And so, you know, I'm always willing to try and alleviate that a little bit. And so somebody was telling me what a huge difference it made for them. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm always up for listening, and I'm always up for experiencing it and putting myself as a guinea pig for things. I haven't yet gone and been homeless for 2 weeks. If the homeless community is listening, they tell me they're going to kidnap me because I haven't quite made a time yet to do it. I've meant to, haven't. So I'm claiming that. But so these guys are going to do an electroencephalogram on me, an EEG, measure my brain waves and look at my brain because I know that there is damage that's happened. I happen to know that. I mean, I've lived with that. So anybody who knows me here, it happened before you ever met me, so it's not a fresh injury.
Right.
But supposedly, this helps to heal your brain. So they're going to take a EEG, and then we're going to do a little bit of work, and then they're going to do an EEG again, maybe a few weeks later, and we're going to see if it's healed my brain a little bit. And there's a person called David Lynch, and it's davidlynchfoundation.org. And he focuses with and does scholarship work with people who, like vets, people who've had traumatic brain injury, PTSD, abuse of whatever level, you know, people who sometimes people are without housing because they're actually dealing with mental challenges. And so they are happy to sit there and come and look and work with people here. There's people here who already do it, and then these people are coming from wherever the home office is. I need to learn more about it. I don't mean to, like, be cavalier and not have enough of an understanding, but we'll see, and I'll look at that. And so I'm actually looking forward to having my head examined.
Yeah.
and to see if it actually does do some healing on it.
So I wonder, they are probably coming from Maharishi University, and I believe it's Iowa.
They're coming from Iowa.
Yeah. So
you know more about it than I do.
Well, I was there, and I found one of the fascinating things to be that they have a practice of getting a critical mass of people doing transcendental meditation at a single time, and what they have demonstrated is that can affect world affairs. Actually, they'll take, you know, and it's open to interpretation, of course, but they'll show a timeline of when they did this and what was happening, and then on this particular day, this particular time, some major positive change happened. So that's pretty cool if they can do that.
That's pretty cool. I'm kind of a little bit of a pragmatist, so I need to work on my enlightenment to where I have faith in things like that. But I was looking at studies or little videos that were there of testimonies of people who have come back from these recent wars and seen how VA centers are utilizing that, and different schools are utilizing it, and places that are really violent areas in inner cities or different areas where these kids essentially live with post-traumatic stress disorder from the violence in their neighborhoods. And there is real measurable improvement. And from what I was talking to them, I didn't talk a lot, but what I was talking to them, it didn't seem like they were evangelizing.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that is particularly that sort of thing. They are...
It's like a tool.
Yeah, in a way pretty secular, but they try to do the greatest good that they possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll own it. I'm Irish-Italian, kind of raised in a Catholic family, so I always have those little flags up there that are always just in my basic programming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to different spiritual philosophies, but the screen door is still there.
Well, we have a lot of people listening, no doubt, who have various spiritual practices. Maybe we could hear from someone who feels like they've got something that might benefit you.
Yes, 826-7771. And if people want to call in what they would really like to hear as a strengthened focus in this program, like I've heard from Robert that he would like to think about how we deal with our septic. I have heard from Alan about containers that we could possibly look at what is working on Hawaii Island. We've heard about pets and dogs. Marshall, what would you like to hear?
Well, I would like to hear
for this year, what would you like to see us focus on?
Oh, in the coming year, what should we focus on? Well, you know, I think that actually, Felicia, you're doing great.
I was looking when I'm thinking about homeless and all that stuff, and we see these refugees from wars, and that we're probably going to be getting refugees from environmental challenges. So homeless, refugee, all of that's somewhat in the same direction, and health. So
I'm sorry, we had a caller, but they're gone. Call them back.
Oh, did they okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say what I haven't liked. I have not been happy about these trade deals passing. I hope that I am wrong. I have been worried about seeing things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It doesn't seem like a step in the right direction. I am less of one who wants to see globalized authority, particularly if we hand it to corporations whose main kuleana is to make money for their shareholders. It doesn't mean that they're bad, but it doesn't mean that that's who I think should be in charge. I want to give a shout-out to a play that I went to last week, Inherit the Wind. Those kids were, oh, my gosh, so good. That was the Kauai Performing Arts Council. It was at Kauai High. That was about the Scopes Monkey Trial. It was essentially a look at McCarthyism. And these high school students, they were so in character. They did an extraordinary job. I might have them on the show. I didn't get the word out to them quickly enough today, but I would for the today's show. I did talk to them, and they were interested and willing to come in and share their perspective of what they learned through that process. And the person who played the lawyer that was defending, his father is actually a pastor, and he was defending basically Darwin's theory, and he just did the most incredible job. And I was sitting next to his mother, and she was very, very proud of him. So that's great. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Felicia. It's Aurelius.
Hi, Aurelius. Good. Thank you for coming in and supporting the show with your own voice before.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great. That was really, really fun. And I got to get my dad an archive of that show, so he was super, super stoked about that.
Great.
So, a great show as always. I decided to call in when you were discussing transcendental meditation and its healing benefits on an individual as well as society and community at large.
Have you done transcendental meditation?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have. And I've done different forms of it. And it's a way of changing, you know, human beings, just like all life, vibrate at a certain frequency. So it's just a matter of focusing on an ever-increasing rate of vibration. It's actually quite scientific. But I really am excited to hear the follow-up if you can record any improvement in your brain. That's such a fun little experiment to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see that. I'm all open for.
Yeah, I want to encourage you to get the scan 2 weeks later and not be disappointed if it doesn't quite change. I think you probably have to try that for longer than 2 weeks to get that to really show up on the scan.
I think we're going to separate out the scans 4 weeks apart, and I asked them if I can, you know, try and help, and they were actually really wanting to see if they can help people who are suffering with serious things like PTSD or brain health. So if somebody feels like that describes them, maybe contact me.
I have a question for you. Know. Yeah.
Am I completely wrong about the levitation, or is there anything to that?
Levitation, you mean the physical levitation of a human body?
Yes, as a result of doing transcendental meditation.
I personally believe that's possible. I've never seen proof of it, but I have seen proof that these realms of higher human abilities, as we tap our higher human abilities, I've seen miraculous examples of things that are not supposed to be possible. For example, like what you talked about with, you know, the idea that a massive transcendental meditation event could influence, outside the realm of physicality, could influence events, you know, in the world. I personally took part in a meditation that was about 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out, this is back in the early 90s, I was out on the near the Persian Gulf conflict. We were about 12 miles away from a major conflict. And we read that the day after we did our meditation, there was a calming of the fighting, and people were allowed to drive on roads that they weren't allowed to drive on before that. So to me, in my experience, I've absolutely seen proof that this can, and my father's, Felicia, I think I've told you this, my father is a physicist and my mother is a spiritualist. So I grew up very critical-minded. You know, I always wanted proof of things. And one of the greatest things I heard recently on KKCR, I believe it was a Bioneers show, a show about what's called neurogenesis, which up until about 6 years ago, nobody believed it was possible for an adult to regenerate brain cells. But they've actually discovered that it is possible. And I wanted to tell you just briefly about this experiment with mice.
Okay, so let's hear it briefly, and then I have somebody holding. Okay,
so they experimented with mice, and they found that mice that had so positive social interaction, plenty of exercise, and plenty of intellectual activities, that's how they found out. These mice actually regrew brain cells. So anything's possible.
Well, I mean, I think that they actually have quite a bit of results, at least this group seems to, and there's a lot of brain scientists that are in this group, and I did look at the website, and it does seem that there is concentrations of people all trying to affect the world positively with, you know, group meditation, and
even your everyday thoughts. can contribute to that kind of collective consciousness of positivity.
That's right. Even without meditation, I think if enough people started thinking positively, acting positively, we could make a huge change.
Yes, and even how we choose our words. So,
agreed.
Thank you so much.
Aloha. Happy New Year to everyone at KKCR and our listeners. Aloha, aloha, aloha.
Aloha.
Bye.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Satya. I called in earlier, but you said something about refugees, and I was very interested in knowing if you are receiving refugees from overseas on the island and if there's any way we can be of assistance to these people. The information.
You can look.
We are not. There are only a certain number of states that have been designated as places to receive the refugees, and very specific areas have been designated for that. And what they've done is put in really strong support systems when they do accept refugees. But Hawaii is not one of the places that is going
to
be.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I thought it would be.
I saw a phone number for a contact in Hawaii, but that was at the very onset of when they were thinking about. So every single state had a phone number. So Marshall is probably the most accurate on it. But if you Google search it,
that's a good idea.
I think that you'll find some information.
And then I was going to say one other thing. In relationship to levitation, when I was a child, I was quite sick. I had the rheumatic fever, and my family would put me out in the garden every afternoon for a couple of hours to give me air, whatever, their idea of getting me better. And I would sit, and I noticed that not only the birds didn't just fly, but the little insects would fly in the grass. I would see them, and they would hover. And I focused so much on it that I experienced myself lifting up and sort of hovering. So I think it was a kind of levitation. And it came through just this intense desire and focus to imitate what I was looking at. So that was kind of an interesting experience. And I find that being in nature is a form of meditation that has a tremendous value for everybody that I've ever known.
Yes. I agree so much, and even just doing something like paddling canoe and watching the blade go in at the same time is almost a form of meditation.
Yeah, or just sitting and being with the leaves on the trees.
Yes.
It's just a very interesting
experience.
Anyway, I wanted to share that, and I'll Google the thing about refugees, because I personally feel a lot of compassion and would like to be able to do something. I've made some donations, but if they were coming on the island, there would be a way of us coming together and being supportive. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you for calling.
Right on. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha, you are our last caller, and you are on the air.
Lucky me. Thank you so much. I do want to say, Felicia, that the what you're going to do with your brain and experiment with your brain, it sounds really positive and wonderful, and I think that meditation is so healing and powerful, as some of the other callers have mentioned. And I do want to say it's so exciting. 2016 is going to be such an exciting year for Kauai with our farming and what's going on with Kilauea and other farms are growing. And we do have a lot of food that we can provide to our people. And myself, I'd like to start bringing fruit to the food bank that I have extra of.
Yeah, the closest one to you is probably the Kilauea food,
yes.
The pantry there. And so just in case somebody else has the same idea, good to show up at the parish hall on Kolo Road right across from the Little Stone Church at maybe 1-ish on Friday or about 2 on Saturday.
Okay, and I hope that they don't mind limes and stuff like that, because
they're happy to do that. And what you'll find is they are very good at giving you the tax receipt for it, and you can write it off on your taxes. Anybody can write it off on their taxes. And what happens is if there's too much at one pantry, they're pretty good at sharing them out to other people.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for that. And I did see whales today. I was at Larson's Beach, and it's so exciting. I love this time of year. And just thank you so much for your dedication to our county and our people, for all of the work that you do, for all the meetings you attend. And let's all try and work together. I personally, I know that you're being very kind to our county council, but I've seen a lot of yawns come out of there from a couple of the councilmen, and I find it very offensive. It's sometimes I feel like they're really not listening.
And can I speak to that for just a moment?
Please.
And I do want to also thank you, because I know you sit on boards, and I know that you are often at these other meetings. There is a charter review survey that's out. It is tomorrow's the last day for people to respond. But it asks about districting, but like if we were to look at different structures for the council, because that is technically a part-time job, so 5 of those 7 have another job. And like one of them, he is a math teacher at the high school, and he runs the after-school driver's ed program.
Okay.
So it's not surprising that they're exhausted. Right? So if we want exhausted people in there doing that job, well, we're going to keep paying them like a part-time job. You know,
right.
If we had a full, this I'm editorializing here, but I'd like to see it be a full-time 4-year job, and then they don't have a competing job.
Right. Okay. Well, I may be not talking to all of the people that are yawning, but some of them are chomping gum and being,
yes. Okay. I'm being nice.
Yes, you are. But anyway,
okay.
Thank you, and I know it's getting late, and thank you, and I hope to see more of you in this new year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, love you.
And
love
there
you.
Is a link to that district configuration survey
okay.
on your website.
Yes, okay, yes. It's actually on the front page. That's FeliciaCowden.com, and there's a little button right there, and it will take you to that survey. And I will make sure to put it at the top of my Facebook again or on KKCR.com. The Facebook for KKCR. So Jazz with John is just about to start. We're going to hear the county council report, and we are going to close. And the county council, just spoiler alert, they got the day off tomorrow. So it's a very short county council report, and then we're going to close out with G-Love singing Peace, Love, and Happiness. He will be playing at the Church of the Pacific. So this is Felicia and Marshall.
Felicia, I just want to grab a second to echo what some of our callers have said, and that is to thank you for all that you do.
Oh.
I see it up close. I know how much you do and how thankless it can sometimes be. And I want to mention also that I know sometimes it's hard for you to get people to come in here to the show, despite what an amazing opportunity it is to share information with the community.
I think it's nerve-wracking for people to come in, who I'm hoping I can get next Tuesday. I haven't gotten an affirmation from them. Is the new Chamber of Commerce president and the president and CEO of Hawaiian Airlines. I sent them a message asking I will be going to the Chamber of Commerce lunch at I think it's that day next on the 5th. It's sold out, though. But anyway, so you'll at least be hearing me say what they said, but it'd be more fun to have them in person. So thank you all, and we're just going to give you a taste of G-Love, and then we're not going to go through the whole song. Thank you.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of December 21st. There were no agendas on the council website for this week, so it looks like the council is taking time off for the holidays. These reports will resume when the council posts an agenda on their website. I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. Aloha.